Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
Hey, Mitchie.
Yep.
Is that it? Yep.
You seem so far away, Mills.
I feel like we are. We have a different setup today. I feel like we're... Because we're so far away.
Away, away.
It does feel weird because we're sitting so far away.
I think it was Caddyshack.
Mm?
Remember the movie Caddyshack?
Mm-hmm. No, I don't remember that part.
Do you know who was in Caddyshack?
That was oh, what's his name?
Yeah, you can do this. You can.
Oh, his name's on the tip of my tongue. Adam Sandler.
Is no.
Who then?
I'll give you another hint. National Lampoon's European Vacation.
Oh, well, no, then I'm thinking of a totally different movie.
Chevy Chase.
No, I don't know where I was thinking then. I was in a totally different location. Did you just throw a dirty tissue at me?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I just
I literally can't work with you. I swear to God. Anyway, hello. How are you going?
Good. We lost Shaun the Sheep today.
I heard through somebody else. Mitch.
Yeah, he shunned his sheep. He shunned his sheep.
Anyway, what happened to poor old Sean?
He fucking died.
Why? How? Because just of old age?
Old age, yeah.
He was getting a bit on in years, wasn't
girl,
he?
Ange was very upset.
How are the girls?
Lola went down with her and they put a sheet over her and just, you know, cut some of her hair off so we'd always have her memory and...
Hair.
Sean the Sheep was a girl.
Hair. Yeah, I know.
There are women called Sean.
Yeah. Okay.
There are women I'm just saying. There are women in Ireland.
Just clarifying for anybody who might be listening going, is he actually telling the truth? I honestly don't know what's what with you.
Anyway, yeah.
But
death is a strange thing, you know?
It's strange and, I don't know, confronting and all of the things, you know? All of the things. And I was just literally telling you today about how, because I was at a funeral yesterday for a family member.
Yep.
And it's just, it's, how do I explain it? I just don't think that you just don't realise from one minute to the next whether someone's going to be here or not.
Yeah.
Was the last time you're going to see them or not? Was that's the last time you're going to speak to them or not? And have you given your best of yourself? Have you done your best? Have you, I don't know, there's just so, I feel like my head is swimming with a lot of thoughts around it. I probably can try and extrapolate the thoughts, but first up, it's the suddenness of it all. Like at one minute, they're there and the next minute they're not.
Yeah.
And I remember when my grandfather passed many, many years ago, it was years before I realised he actually wasn't coming back. Like I would be in the house and then I'd hear something outside and go outside and expect him to be playing Briscola at the front, you know, the cards at the front with the guys, he used to. Or that something would happen and I'd expect him to walk in at any moment. Like you just, they're there and then they're not and it's just like, I don't know. It's
but do you ever think like people's like reactions to it are so inflated sometimes and sometimes
into death?
Yeah, sometimes they miss the point. You know what? You go through a whole roller coaster of emotions. I mean, I haven't lost anybody
very close to me
yet. And obviously it's inevitable, but I see it with other people. I mean, that part when you're at a funeral and somebody is up saying some, you know, saying the eulogy or speaking into the love or appreciation that they've had for someone or the missed love and appreciation that they've had for someone is always very moving. I'm always very emotional at that time, you know. But I haven't experienced what people call that sense of loss, you know, that I cannot get back. And I think it's really important I don't know what that is. Whether it's that part of me that knows that there is no death. Do you know what I mean? It's just transition. You know, it's just. Well, what are we mourning the loss of? The mortal part of the person that we never had the right communication with, right? Or because a lot of the time, what you hear at a funeral is, "Thank you, I love you, I appreciate you." You know, I never got to tell you how much I loved you, or I did get to tell you how much I loved you, right? But there's like, for me, there's a little. And I would call it a numb part. There's a part that's a bit numb, like what. You know, I don't know whether it's I've never lost somebody really close to me, to feel what people to go through what I see people go through.
Mm.
Then I ask, are people just going? You know, you watch in places like Israel you watch in places like Israel or places like, you know, Italy or you know where they really wail and they really mourn and it's like that seems to be something that is kind of tribal. It's what. You know, over time, that hey, when somebody dies, this is what you do.
Mm.
Does that make sense? So I don't feel that as real. Do you know what I mean? Mm. I don't feel that as very real. I feel that that's a that's kind of something that people do because they think they're obligated to do it.
Yeah, I think. Well, I've experienced that in my life.
Have you that sort of wailing?
The wailing? Yeah. The way I see it from my experience, right? Is that a lot of the emotions that are suppressed are expressed in that moment almost. It's like it's the – I think that there's a part of it that is real in the sense that there's a loss and there's a moment where you just – you know, but I think it's like a suppression of all of those emotions and thoughts and feelings that you've had and then it just – comes out. And I've experienced where I felt it was real and I've experienced where I felt it was not put on but done because it was more not expected but it was kind of like what they did, like a traditional thing, you know. But when I experienced where it was real, I felt every part of it and I felt it because it was somebody that just held in a lot of their expression of themselves and in that moment was just let it go in the grief, you know, in that moment.
Mm.
And I felt that. But then there's times where I haven't felt that with people when I've seen that because I grew up in an Italian family, so that's what was like, that's how I just experienced it. That was not at a funeral though. That was at the death, like in the house. Do you know what I mean? Not afterwards. I think you're right about the mourning at the funeral thing, but I think the mourning at the funeral, I don't know, it was from my experience yesterday, I was listening and I realised again, it's something that we teach, but I realised again that all there is love. Like it doesn't matter what has gone on for a person in their life. It doesn't matter what else has happened. That in that moment, when we're faced with somebody's passing and the inevitability of them never returning in the same form, obviously everybody knows – well, not everybody knows. I know that they're there in another form. But when we're faced with the reality of the physical presence no longer being there and that no longer being able to say the words or reach out or touch or communicate or whatever – that there, the realization of the love that is underneath that is there,
right.
even if it hadn't been visibly evident in life. That's what I felt yesterday. I really, 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 really felt that. I felt the loss of the missed communication, the missed opportunities, the misunderstandings. I really felt that. And it just really made me think that, you know, at every moment, like sometimes, like just little things, you know, sometimes I'll leave a place and I'm angry or I leave a place and I'm frustrated and instead of saying words, I just allow it to be there instead of thinking, you know what, this is not necessarily all there is. I can leave it on a different note. I don't have to be like And that's not, I don't know if that's a real thing, because at the end of the day, we're human beings and that's what happens sometimes. But you just don't know. And I think there was a suddenness to this particular passing that while I wasn't necessarily close to him, I was close to his children. And his, I felt for them based on how they experienced it and their expression of how it all turned about, and what, and just watching, even though I haven't really spoken to them fully as much as I could have, because of their busyness in prep for the funeral and stuff, the clearly evident shift in their perception that wasn't there before he passed. There was a, there was definitely a shift, and right. I just really felt for them that they perhaps missed out on experiencing that even just days prior to him leaving. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
And it's been, he's been around for, well, they've been around for a long time. So it's all of this time where there's this missed communication. And now, just in a matter, in a matter of a week, perceptions have shifted. And it's like, oh my God, like if the perception can shift so much in a week, what if that, what if we allow ourselves to shift our perceptions prior to that, not allow it to get to that. That doesn't mean everything is fixed or sorted or complete, but it's there was enough there to go, oh my God, what if? And I never had that communication. Do you know what I mean? Mm. And I just, I don't know, it's like, it was interesting to watch, it was difficult to watch, and it was lovely to watch all at the same time, because you realize that all there was and all there is love. And so I really took stock of other situations and other places in my life where maybe I wasn't being as appreciative of the people around me, and just going, okay, well, where, what else can there be to see in that situation? Do you know what I mean? Mm. Just to help to recognize that there's, when these things happen, they happen to show us parts of ourselves. Then obviously it was meant to happen to show them parts of themselves as well. Now, I also get that they haven't left, that the person hasn't left. I get that. I got it when my grandfather died. My grandfather, who was like just an angel to me, like an absolute guardian angel. I loved him to pieces. I'm a big with people like being understood. I never felt really understood when I was a kid, except for him. He just got it. He, and sometimes he didn't agree and he didn't understand why, but he understood me. Does that make sense? Yeah. He understood who I was. And that was a massive, that was massive for me. When he passed, it was really, that was, I really experienced that. But in that moment, like right from the moment of his passing, he passed on my nephew's fourth birthday, and in that moment my nephew became him. All of the traits, all of the characteristics, he still is to this day. He still is to this day. He jokes around, he understands, he's loving, he's just exactly like my grandfather was. So yeah. I see, and not just him, his traits appear in other people too, and I see that that's there, I see that. But I think it's different when you, I think it's different when you experience it, because as much as I love that he is that way, that like for quite a long time afterwards, I just still wanted a hug. Like that physical presence not being there is different, you know. It seems, I don't know. I don't know. I think you'll find it, you'll be able to deal with it differently because of what you know.
Yeah.
But it doesn't take away from the fact that the physical element. I know Tash lost her grandmother a year, 2 years, 3 years ago, just recently, and she had a really close connection with her grandmother, and it doesn't go away. Like, you still notice that there are people around that represent that person.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily a sadness thing. It's a love, it's an attachment and gratitude thing as well.
But so, like, so I remember I was having this conversation with a mate of mine, Ivan. I call him, nickname him Ivan the Geese, Ivan the Geezer. And we were talking about death, you know, and I was talking about the transition. But he was heavily attached to his mortal body and the fear of loss of his mortal body.
Yeah.
His own personal mortal body. And I was like, but there's no such thing as death, dude. Death is a figment of our imagination, it's a manifestation of our attachment to our mortality, mm-hmm. but it costs us the immortal view of who we are and what we are. If we understood that we were immortal and we were able to know that and live in that space, part which of us has to already, but you can't fully live in that space, well, would we be so attached to the mortal self? And we argued this point, dude, and he was like, he was really, really attached to the physical form of who he was and what he had and what was around him and the fear of losing that. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
And but I could also see that even in the conversation that was stopping him from understanding what he actually was.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
That he, because it was like, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to see that. I don't want to know about that. That's not enough. This is enough.
He just wanted that physical was everything. Mm.
I
think again, we know enough about it to know, but we're also human, so you're going to have moments where you experience that human experience of loss of the physical, because this is the form we're in, even though we know we're not that. And I don't know how to, I mean, but you got to think about, like, even though you know we don't die, if you lost one of your kids, it would be like you wouldn't know. Like, the concept is can't conceptualize it. And I think that's where it is. Like, when it happens in the moment, like, maybe when you've got an older parent or a grandparent, you think, okay, well, they're getting on. You have to kind of conceptualize it to some degree, but it does become, I don't know. It's just, I think it was just for me anyway, it was just an awareness of the fact that what I can do in this physical experience and how I can represent myself is important, like how I communicate, how I connect, how I am appreciative. Like, it really made me appreciative for my family. Like, I love my family, but my family do my head in as well. And yesterday there was just such a love and appreciation amongst everyone.
You talk very, very highly and very in a very lovely way about your family. Like, I love how you shared a bit about, you know, the card games and the little things that you do outside. It's really quite magical. You know, you can't, I can see you guys doing that in fucking Morley or Bentley or wherever it is. But I can also see you guys doing that in a little street in Italy. Do you know what I mean? In the south of Italy. You know, I can see, your mum sitting out there in her little grey or black dress, you know, and her bob and sitting there playing cards with your nonna. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. She's ruthless out of all of them.
Is
she is the most ruthless.
Really?
Yeah. She will just shoot you down in a card game if she can. Yeah. And in life, she's the total opposite. She'd just be so gentle and kind and would you like the last biscuit? And but in a card game, she will just shoot you down. She doesn't care.
Yeah.
So her and Mark have so all of them have little tournaments and competitions and stuff like that. So the family connection and the family love, like, we've got a group text message, and last night it was just love floating everywhere. And just lovely, you know.
Yeah.
And everybody feels that. We've got people that come or people that marry into the family are very appreciative of the big family. Like, everyone will be just there helping out in whatever way is necessary, no questions asked.
Yeah.
And it really, really, really is lovely. Oh, and I think that sometimes don't appreciate that.
It pulls all that together.
100%. That's 100%. Because this literally the day before I found out that the day before he passed, this is my uncle, his son and I had an argument over WhatsApp, like within the group, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't believe you're doing this. Like, not really angry, but just going, I'm not responding because we've had this agreement before and da-da-da. And the next minute it's all, there's no actual argument. Do you know what I mean? Because the next minute this has happened and everyone is just fine. Like, it's just, I don't know. Something happens. It brings everybody together. It makes it just makes you realize how much you actually have around you. And if that's sometimes that's what it takes, you know. And that sometimes it takes death to do that, but sometimes it doesn't need to take death to do that. And I don't know. I just wanted to share that today. I think today I was feeling quite just, I don't know. It's not a good or a bad thing. It's just an awareness, an appreciation, and a realization that there's a lot of love around, you know, in whatever form it comes. And at the end of the day, we talk about it all the time, that what's the underneath all of that, underneath all of anything that's going on, you boil it down and you access the heart and everything else melts away.
Yeah.
The love at the end of the day is all there is. And when no matter what has happened for someone in their life, that at their funeral, it's just love, then that's accessible to us every single day. And it's just a matter of being open to access that, whoever you are.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're my thoughts.
There you go.
That's my thoughts today.
Sleep tight, Sean.
And Sean. Oh, dear. Sean the sheep.
Hey, whether this is you at the beginning of your personal development journey or you're perhaps immersed in your growth and transformation, at MJB Seminars, we have everything to help you live an inspired life.
If this episode resonated and you're looking for more information on how to have an actual breakthrough and transform your life, visit us over at mjbseminars.com.au and book yourself in for a complimentary discovery coaching call.
Also, make sure you like and follow us over on Instagram and Facebook, and review and subscribe to Dorothy and the Dealer today.